band's going to get up in a minute, but I'd like to read 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 first. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen.
Morning. Lord willing, this time next week, I won't have to have crutches. Praise the Lord for that, I'm telling you. Good to see all of you. Charity and I extend our personal thanks for all the help that was given to us moving in. Oh my, what a chore. Lots of folks helped, lots of folks wanted to help but had other things going on. Some folks showed up with food unexpected. You know, all that said something to the community, by the way. The neighbors come over and they said, we've never seen that many people move someone in. I said, Church of Christ, six blocks, come join us. So thanks again. And if you have your Bibles, be turning to 3 John. We're going to wrap up our series this morning as we've been going through 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And I want to begin by... My notes are sporadic, too, because since I was on the road... Rumbling around in the U-Haul truck and my brain's flopping around. I'm scratching notes. I got notes here, and some notes in my pocket maybe, so I'll do the best I can here. When I was a little boy, there was a man in our church. I don't know how to say this. This man was probably the most spiritually ugly person I've ever seen in my life. Now, I hope that this gentleman in his later years turned a little bit closer to the Lord, but I want to tell you about him because in the book of 3 John, we're going to talk about a man that had some similar problems, okay? I'm not going to mention his name, but this young man, I remember growing up, and as a child, I was terrified of this man. Every time this man got up to make announcements, his favorite thing to do, and I got to qualify my words, is to tell everyone to move closer to the front. He never asked. And he had a scowl on his face, and he knew how to smile. That wasn't his ordinary face. Then he'd say, well, not everybody moved forward, but they should have. Now, can you imagine how you would feel if someone did that here today? I can tell you how I felt as a young child. I was afraid. I was intimidated. Later, as a young man, I went to men's business meetings. Oh, heaven forbid. And this gentleman, he would say his opinion, but it didn't come out as opinion. If I tell you what I think, I tell you what I think, and I leave a little bit of latitude for the possibility that I'm wrong, because you know that happens. This man, not that way at all. This is what we need to do, and if you don't agree with it, well, you're just not right. So he would state his opinion in such a way that no one thought that they could say anything else. I mean, unless you wanted to go to war, you know. I heard this gentleman, personally, with my own ears, call another man in a men's business meeting a donkey, except he didn't use the word donkey. Go figure on that one. What does all that tell you about this man? You've not met this man, I'm almost certain. What do you surmise about this fellow? Just me having told you, this is a complete true story. I didn't. As a matter of fact, I probably underdone the facts just a little bit. This is a man who the love of Christ has not touched his heart, right? This is a person who's bitter inside, has personal difficulties. And how do you think that helped the church where I grew up when I was small? Sarah's shaking her head no. What she's saying is it didn't. And she's right. My dad one time started going to church again. Hadn't been to church in a long time. And this man, the church men got together and asked my dad to clean the little communion cups. Do you remember when we had glass communion cups? Did y'all have those here instead of the plastic? Oh, no, we had the glass ones? Yeah, I had the little glass cups. Well, after church, if you got glass cups, you got to go clean all those little cups. And that, you know. So they put Dad in charge of that. Well, this man proceeded to tell him that he was doing it all wrong and chewed him out. Really did chew him out and discouraged my father. And, you know, that type of thing. Well, that's terrible that somebody in the church would be like that, isn't it? And you're thinking, where are we going with this lesson? Let's read 3 John. Let's see where I'm going with this lesson. The elder to the beloved Gaius. Now, if you remember in 2 John, John starts out 2 John the same way, calling himself the elder. To the beloved Gaius, and just a quick note on who Gaius is. Gaius is the one, when the disturbance arose in the way, considering Paul's preaching in Ephesus, there was the silversmith Demetrius who got all riled up, and you know, and they ended up dragging Gaius out in the theater and was going to beat him. You remember? That's Gaius. And if you also turn to Romans chapter 16, you'll find Gaius as a person of hospitality, a guy that's really welcoming to the other Christians that would come to the area. That's who this Gaius is. So John's writing to Gaius here, and he says, "Whom I love in the truth," we've talked about that before, "beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your souls prosper. For I was very glad when brethren came and testified to your truth." Am I ringing, or is that me? No, it's just me. Okay. "For I was very glad when brethren came and testified to your truth," that is, how you are walking in truth. "I have no greater joy than this, to hear my children walking in truth. Beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, and especially when they are strangers, and they have testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. For they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support such men so that we may be fellow workers with the truth." Now, before I go to verse 9 and the following, let me talk about those first 8 verses a little bit. These first 8 verses, when you get down past the initial greeting, it says that when folks come your way, we were talking about this in class this morning, the disciples in Mark chapter 6 that Jesus sent out, he told them, don't take anything with you. Don't take any food or anything like that. Well, who's gonna take care of those needs? The church is. So sometimes when we have traveling missionaries come our way, what do? We help support them and send them on their way. That's what the church does. So I think to myself, what if I just took off to Africa today and didn't even pack a lunch? Would I make it? You know, sometimes the church doesn't see it in that way, but he's reminding the church here, look, send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. We have an obligation as the church to take care of folks that are preaching Jesus, whether it's a minister or whether it's a missionary. These folks are out here devoting their life to teaching the gospel, and here he's telling them, you guys do that. Take care of these, and do it in a manner worthy. And you're going to find out why that he brings that up when we get in the last few verses. Therefore, verse 8, we ought to support, that is, receive such men so that we may be fellow workers with the truth. You know, we are fellow workers this morning with the truth. There are lots of folks sitting here today who help teach with the World Bible School program. We are teaching people about Jesus outside of this continent every week of the year. We, as a church, support Jason, what's his last name?
Zeigert.
In Atlanta, Iowa. He's doing the work down there. The church is being built up down there, making progress. We are helping with that work. The church here supports me in the work that I do as far as being a preacher and a teacher. We help Bill Elliott, Travis's dad. We help a number of people, but we do this for the glory of God to promote the gospel, right?
Amen.
Well, this is what John's telling them. You keep doing that, but realize that you have responsibility to do this in a manner worthy of God. Then he gets down to verse 9. This is our subject matter that I'm primarily going to talk about today. Let's read the rest of the text and spend some time discussing it. Verse 9 says, I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. For this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does, unjustly accusing us with wicked words. And not satisfied with this, he himself does not receive the brethren either, and he forbids those who desire to do so, and he puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but do what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself, and we add our testimony. You know that our testimony is true. I had many things to write to you, but I am not willing to write them to you with pen and ink. But I hope to see you shortly, and we will speak face to face. Peace be with you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. Let me get my paper spread out here. We got a man here in verse 9 and 10. I'm going to spend the rest of my time to you this morning talking to you from verse 9 and 10. So if you have your Bibles, you can take a gander at those verses. We got a guy named Diotrephes in the church. Now, all church people are loving and kind and have no struggles, right? Yeah, no, that's not the case. Diotrephes had a major difficulty going in his life, okay? Now, the first thing that it mentions here in verse 9, it says, I, being the Apostle John, wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. This Diotrephes guy, he loves to be first among them, among the brethren. Now, what if, this morning, would you do that with me? What if I love to be first among you? What if we had a fellowship meal and I'd break anybody's neck in order to be at the front of the line? You'd say, well, he's an average preacher. No, no. Diotrephes like to be first, and liking to be first is not just about receiving things. What is the type of nature of a person who likes to be first? Huh? Power, you bet, and authority. A person who likes to be first, and I think that is the implication in the text here. And as we go through the study, you see that accentuated even more. Diotrephes liked to be first. He liked to have power. He liked to be in control. He liked for things to go his way. Is there anything wrong with that church?
Everything.
Who said that? Everything Dwayne Engle thinks. Because it's not my way, it's whose way? It's God's way, right? Diotrephes loved to be first. He loved power and authority. I think about a man that I used to work with at a prison. I used to work at a women's prison. I tried that for a year and I hated it. But anyway, this man, he actually worked for me. He was a supervisor of the heat and air shop that maintained the prison. And each supervisor had a group of inmates that worked under him to accomplish his work. So he had a whole group of females that worked under him that he had to help him fix the heating and air conditioning of the prison. He insisted on all those ladies calling him boss. Do you see any problem with that picture?
Amen.
He liked the feeling of power. He liked being the final say. He even liked the title, boss. You ever known anyone like that? Have you ever known anyone at church like that? I hope not. But I think in the case here, John is identifying a man who liked that. Okay? And that's Diotrephes. He loved to be first. And when I think about first, before we move on to the next thing, I also think about a person that is really low in self-esteem. Can anyone kind of see that in the picture? When you don't understand the value that God has given you in your life, then you try to do things to add to that. And God says, no, you don't need that. I am sufficient in your life. All authority has been given to whom? Matthew 18. To Jesus, right? See, when we're sitting here this morning, we don't have to worry about where all the authority and power is, because we know where the authority and the power in this assembly is, right? It's with the preacher's wife, right? Boy, she gave me a real bad look there. Well, that was just a joke, obviously not. It's with the preacher, right? With the elders? Where, the final authority is who? God, right? God is the authority. Jesus, the Son, is the authority by which we live and operate. That's not to say the elders don't have authority or anything like that, but I'm just establishing the authority. Okay? The authority. And as we read through verse 9 and we continue, it says, He does not accept what we say. Where did we just come from in 1st and 2nd John? Who was given authority to establish the truth given by Christ for the beginning of the church? The apostles, right? The apostles are the pattern that we're supposed to follow. The apostles were inspired. The apostles were guided by the Holy Spirit into all truth, right? And here it says Demetrius didn't accept that. Now, what by just by inference here, if you don't accept the apostles' teaching, what can you infer about that statement? Can't get to heaven, right? Because God has given His truth to His Son, and His Son gave it to the apostles to give to us, right? Biblical analogy. So here it says He not only loves the place of authority, number one, number two, He rejects the truth. And John here, in case anybody has missed it, he has been hammering truth through 1st and 2nd John, and how does he begin 3rd John? Talking about truth too, right? So, point number two, he rejects God's way. But point number three moves us down to verse 10. Verse 10 says, For this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does, unjustly accusing us with wicked words, and not satisfied with this, he himself does not receive the brethren either, and he forbids those who desire to do so and puts them out of the church. The first half of verse 10 1 says he unjustly accuses us with wicked words. I'm quite certain that the scripture tells us in Matthew chapter 18, if we have aught with a brother, Engle, that's some King James version. Brother Engle picks up on the fact that I blend a little King James with an IV. If we have aught with a brother or sister in Christ, we're supposed to go talk to other people about them behind their back. We're supposed to put a billboard up that says they're dirty dogs. No, Matthew chapter 18 says if you have aught with a brother or sister, go to them and talk to them about it, right? Diotrephes, what's he doing here? He's talking smack or he's talking trash. That's younger terms. I'm going to try to say those because I'm trying to feel a little younger than I am. Hope I don't end up with a cast on my head. Diotrephes is talking the apostles down. He's saying untruths behind their back about them. In essence, what is that equivalent to, church? That is nothing more than a divisive spirit. That is the single biggest thing that God tells us throughout the scripture to steer clear of. In Proverbs chapter 6, in the list, the top seven list, as I call it, of the top seven sins, he says there are six sins, but one is an abomination. Do you remember what that is? Proverbs 6, verse 16. Do you remember which one's an abomination? The one that causes strife among the brethren. The one that's divisive in spirit. And if you turn to 1 Corinthians, if you understand the whole context of the whole book of 1 Corinthians, you understand, well, what's the subject matter? The subject is really unity of spirit in contrast to division. And when Paul gets over to Titus chapter 3, he says, warn a divisive person once, warn him twice, and then, my version says, reject the fascist man. So when God talks about disunity, especially someone that's causing division, he is very clear throughout the scripture that you're supposed to get away from that person. Doesn't mean that, you know, this guy that I was telling you about earlier that I grew up with, throughout the years I grew to love him. I did not grow to love his hateful spirit. I don't know if he ever changed. I hope he did. Because I still care about him. He's passed away. Hope he made it to heaven. But you know what? In that time that he was causing such havoc on the church, God did not like that one bit. And God did not want the church to endure that. Because a divisive person does what? He draws lines of demarcation. Here's a line. If you're with me, stand over here on my side. Church, if you ever hear me or anyone else in this church do that, get away from them.
Amen.
Because they are not acting in according with the scriptures. The scripture promotes love and unity. So we've got to be careful, even in the face of loving someone. This brother that I'm telling you about, I grew up around the man. That means something to me for where I'm from. And the fact of what he did sure breaks my heart, but it's what happened. So we got to be careful. Now, guess what? Those are extra extraordinary people, right? Diotrephes. Get my terms right. I could never become Diotrephes, you know, because I try to be humble, right? Everybody go like this. Hey, church, I want to suggest something to you. We all have the ability to become this in our hearts. Did that standing up really drive the point home? This is inside of all of us. Satan knows how to flip the switch. And Satan is out to do anything to harm this church. He's out to do anything to harm our be on guard. This is such a serious matter. If I slip in this, would you come and talk to me about it? If you see me get to the point where I seem to be, it's Dan's way or the highway type of attitude, would you please come and talk to me about it? Because my soul will be at stake. Not just my job, my soul. I'd make you a promise this morning from me. If you start acting like this, I'm going to come talk to you because I want you to go to heaven. Verse 10. I'm going to sit back down at that point. He himself does not receive the brethren either, and he forbids those who desire to do so and puts them out of the church. Woo-wee! I could talk for another 30 minutes on this. Where in the scripture is one man ever given the power to put people out of the church? Everybody go like this. Nowhere, right? Why? Because one man can get carried away and get wrong, right? Why do we have a plurality of elders to be on guard against such business? Because, you know what? Even our elders, we all make mistakes, don't we? If you've never made a mistake in here, don't raise your hand, but think, give that some real thought. You know what I'm saying? We have a plurality of elders so that they're checking and balance to each other, right? So if one guy, let's say Glenn, gets to thinking out there in Crazyville, the other elders say, oh, slow down, Glenn, wait, we ain't going that direction. And you know, that periodically happens, doesn't it? Even when, you know, we eat lunch sometimes together, and I'll be telling them I think this about a certain scripture, and they say, Dan, you're off base here. What about that? They, you know, like a husband and a wife, it's a check and a balance. Brian McGee gets a little out of line, and Candace pulls him back in line. You know, it's a good check and balance thing. We need that, don't we? I need that.
Amen.
I need that from our shepherds. I need it from our deacons and every single one of you that I love and care about. Because you know what? I tend to get a little crazy sometimes. Need pull back. Or sometimes I need prod it along. I value that from you. I hope you value that from us as well. I picture Diotrephes here as a control freak. Let me say that. Once upon a time in our marriage when we had difficulties, it was because I like to take charge. You know, I just figured, you know, hey, if there's anything going to get done, I better jump out there and do it. And that attitude turned into a snowball rolling downhill and got this big. Nothing in my family happened without Dan's special stamp of blessing and approval. And that got carried away and led me off where I didn't need to be. Can that not happen in the church too? Have you ever been there? We got to watch out for those things because, you know, the more I think about it, man, I got to really watch these things. The last part of verse 10 is what really scares me. And he forbids those who desire to do so, and he puts them out of the church. How could one man put someone out of the church? Let's just say this morning that I just decided, Sam, now this is an example, this is not literal, hang with me here. Sam, we don't want you coming to church anymore, hit the road. If Sam actually hit the road, it would be because of one thing. It would be because of a bunch of you got on my side and I obtained a following or a support group for what I was doing, right? I think the fact here that Diotrephes was putting some people out of the church lends to the idea that he had gained support for what he was doing. Church, we got to be careful. I know a lot of you are sitting here looking at me this morning and you're thinking, this is not going to be a problem, this hasn't ever been a problem, that sort of thing. Church, this is a problem across our entire brotherhood.
Amen.
I want to encourage you this morning. We have elders in this church. Pray for them during the week. Pray for God to guide their heart in some of these things. Because, you know, I guarantee you, these guys never make a decision without putting so much research, and they don't always make the right decision. They'll admit to that, but they're trying so hard. And, you know, that's not just with the shepherds. That's with us, too. How many times do we make decisions and fail to pray about it? We need guidance too. I'm looking across this audience, and guess what? There's a bunch of you that I go talk to when I'm struggling with what I'm thinking about. And many of you sitting here know you've talked to me about different things, and you've guided my thinking. You've said, hey, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? Well, our elders, we need to pray for them, because they help us in these cases. Maybe someday in the future, Sam, as my example was, maybe Sam will fall off the deep end. Maybe Sam will decide that he needs to be the head authority of the church, and maybe Brother Sam will have to be dealt with. Brother Sam, I don't surely see that happening, and we'll be praying to the opposite. But maybe it'll be Dan. Or let me just put a blank there, and you put your name in. I'm not going to worry about you, Sam, but I am going to be concerned about me. You're going to watch yourself real careful, and if I see you getting out of line, I'm going to come and talk to you, and you'll do the same for me, but I'm going to consider that blank with Dan's name in it. Shall we all consider this morning the fact that we have the potential to be Diotrephes? It lives within each one of us. And in so much as we gain any part of that nature, we will not be glorifying the Father in heaven, and that should break our heart.
Amen.
Message from God given through the Apostle John. This morning, Colton, if you bring me up my crutches, let me just say this. Thank you. I'm going to sing a song of invitation, and I want you to consider yourself here. And I want you to think about your line of reasoning, how you treat other people, how you feel, whether you feel the need to be in power or authority and that sort of thing. You know, there might maybe be a little appeal to God this morning to soften our hearts, to lead us in the right paths. And this morning, I'll just go ahead and make the first confession and have you pray for me. I just confess that I want to be like the Lord, and I don't want to be like Diotrephes. And you know what? Sometimes in the position where I have the pulpit most weeks here, and I'm preaching, you know, sometimes preachers can get off track really easy, maybe just because of the position, perhaps. So pray for me that I would maintain a humble spirit, and if I don't have it, the Lord would show me that, okay? This week, would you pray for me in that? Because I think that's really important to my salvation and also what's good for the church. If you have need this morning, I invite you to come as we stand and sing.